Just follow the sea. That's the words. Did I mention that Dave is in the house today, folks? I have a confession to make in a sort of a way. You know, you all know I lost my brother Petey in November, and my heart still misses him. But I told David, as he was going through this, that it meant as much, if not more, to me to see him get through that door back here healed with God and his smile, because David is the one who brought me here. David was the reason I came here to preach. And I cannot tell you how my heart feels, and nothing compared to Cindy and Judy's here today. You know, make a gesture. Your church will be mad. Did you go to church yesterday?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. Thank God for all the miracles today. Thank God for your life today. Thank God because this is the victory day. This is your beginning of another walk with God. Starts today. Thank you. As Joanne brings us into church. You thought I forgot my story? Joanne, if you would.
That's so peaceful. That just, and her, when I say bring us into church, her music should get you away from the world, all the politics and all the things you got to do later, because the more you let God in, the more he will fill you. Amen. Let's stand up and pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Be seated. Be seated. Say hi to Mark Bush. He's back. 3 weeks he's been sick. Never let any root of bitterness grow in the church. Amen? I'm your pastor. My job is to bring you closer to God. Amen? Closer to who? in your life. And the Bible says you have to do a couple of things. He said, don't let any bitter root, anything grow that's bitter. So we have to remove it. If there's anything happening, we have to remove it. And that's why the little house cleaning, we have a beautiful potluck. Amen. We had a most wonderful potluck. David, Cindy, thank you for helping last week. And we have so many people. And it's not what you bring. It's about your family around you. Amen. And it's the love that we share. That's the important thing. So I thought I would remove a seed of bitterness and say, from now on, there's no more leftovers. Anybody wants something to eat? I think we're going to have Jackie, you said, and Elaine, and Karen, you're going to serve so that everybody, you can fill your plate up to the brim with turkey and whatever it is, but we're just going to leave it at that. That's what some other places do, so we just remove the leftovers, and it removes the things that happen, the bitterness, the upset. And here's one reason why. My very good friend was up here working on the organ. He was up here for about 15 minutes before he went downstairs. He went downstairs and there was barely any food left. And there was people who had food put away. They already eaten and they put plates. And that's, you know, I understand that, except that it's just not fair. And if we have more people, we're going to need everybody to just take your share for the potluck dinner. It's not anything more than that. And I hate to say this, but I have to remove every seed of bitterness. Amen. And now we have to love one another. If you have anything against or any, you just say, look, I love you. We'll work it out. Amen. I know that I am a peacemaker. I know it to a point of a fault, in a sense, that anybody's even a little bit upset at me, I can't sleep. I can't. Even if I was right and somebody else was wrong, which doesn't happen very often, I still can't sleep if I know I said something to offend. So I'm telling you, let's all be peacemakers and understand that our potluck is for everybody. If you don't bring anything, doesn't matter. We don't care if you know, people who are bringing out of their what they have and what they make, that's a blessing. I'm going to do more. I talked to my wife, and I think we're going to get a party pizza from Big Y, and we'll get some other things so that there's enough food for everybody to have the dessert and the meal. But I know, and Deacon Chuck, you're the one, man. I know you went down, and there wasn't any chicken left, and I know that people took other, and those people don't even come to the church every Sunday, which is, again, I don't care who comes in, amen, on that, I don't care who comes, right, we're feeding, and we're a family, and we let them come and see the family, but we need to take care of what we have around us, amen. So if I just said that, then it removes all that other anxiety, and we'll do it the right way, and God will take care of the rest, amen. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Look at the back of your bulletin. You heard a lot about politicians all week. You heard a lot about South Carolina. You heard a lot about Nevada. Amen. For a good reason. There's anybody know there's a presidential election coming up? You ever seen any of that in a newspaper? Lord. February 23rd, 1945. 70 years. Iwo Jima. Those men, Americans, for us, for our freedom. You know, I have to tell you, I didn't hear a word about it on TV. We heard about it on the radio. Somebody called in and talked about that. And I called Marilyn, my wife actually called Marilyn, and see what she did on the back. You might want to keep that as a souvenir. 70 years. That's America, folks. 144,000 soldiers buried overseas to help free other people. Amen. That's America. Amen. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So thank you, Marilyn. Great job. One more little thing I got to... Hey, Dave, you missed last week. We said, is there any other announcements? We were doing announcements. And Marilyn said she had nothing to say. And I felt the wall. And I said, you have just caused pain to all the other women in here, because it is possible. Marilyn, we're not going to forget. Praise the Lord. Let's read together. No, it's too late now. Fred's got it on tape. Just so you do, Fred. Just not say, is it? Hallelujah. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory. Wait a minute. I start from the beginning. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Hallelujah. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. Hallelujah. It is. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. Yes, he does. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire.
Yes.
Hallelujah to that one, right, guys? The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. We need to be peace givers, amen? We need not preach anger. We need not preach anything that causes dissension, amen? We need to preach peace. And when you have that peace, your body begins to heal. And when your body begins to heal, good things happen, Seth. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Welcome back home from Florida, Brenda and Roger, all the way back, and Cassie's back. Welcome, good to see you. Don't fall asleep back there. You know, Dave, if the church was any bigger, I'd swear they'd sit on the green if they can get away with it. You know? I'd give the testimony. I've heard so much about God in the last 2 weeks and about the Bible and who's a Christian and who's not and what the Bible says and what the Bible doesn't say. And I keep saying, Lord, the Bible is for us individually to read, to get into our soul. It's not meant for us to criticize other people with. It's not meant for us to lord it over other people. It is for us to grow closer to God individually. Amen? And I must say, I see it more and more. I said, we need just simply to have a relationship with him one-on-one. How? One-on-one. The father of all lies. How many have heard that? Satan is the father of all lies. Amen? Well, the testimony must first have a shred of truth. You all know that? Anybody who tells a lie, had to begin with, there has to be a little bit of truth in there to get you listening. It sounds good. It appears to make sense. Feels good. They help you relax. Oh, it's not a big deal. No one will notice. The father of all lies. That's the seed. Amen. Nobody will notice. We read in our opening prayer, lead us not into temptation. Temptations may take many forms. Amen. But what the Bible says, God never tempts us. Remember, God faced temptation at the weakest moment 3 times with Satan. And I tell you this, evil knows no bounds. Things can't get worse. Anybody ever heard that? That's wrong. There is no end to the darkness of evil. You see things happening. You see the things people are doing to people. You think things can't get worse. There's no end to evil. And let me tell you, in your life, and I wish Gary was here, Bill, and I wish he was here to hear this, because this is for him. Evil knows. Say, listen to me. Evil knows what God can and will do for those of faith. Amen? Satan knows God. Amen? He knows him well. And he knows when you pray, God what? Hears. And when he hears, he what? Answers. He knows that. He knows that God will answer. There may be times that seem impossible. Things coming against you, your life or your family, especially when you turn to God and his word. Evil already knows the answer. He may know your faith is still weak and not ready. Why? Simply by the words that you use. I can't do this. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. He knows by what you tell him. He knows by what you tell him. By the words you use, attacks may come. You may be responsible for some of the things that Satan does because you've allowed him into here. Amen? He doesn't know your thoughts until you say them. So remember, that is all evil has left. All Satan has left is to attack your mind during the storm, amen? To attack your mind during the struggle, during the tribulation. Evil will attack your spirit to weaken, to you to give up, to deny God. To deny God, why? Because evil knows that the answer will come and evil will be defeated. Amen? You need to know this. You need to know this every day. That evil will be defeated. And then when things happen, and I know that, that's why I say, Gary, when you start going to church and all of a sudden you see like bad things are happening, of course they are, because now the devil's in a place where he's got to do something, because you spent 20 years not going to church and doing this and doing that, and the devil said, I don't have to worry about that fella. He's on my team. But the second you turn to God, you start saying, man, I feel all these things are coming on, because that's his last chance. And even with his last chance, he's going to be defeated. Amen? In your life, Sergio, he's going to be defeated in your life, because you love God. No matter what priest or what anybody, what bishop, anybody else tells you how and why, it doesn't matter. You love God. God knows you love him. That's all you need to know. Your victory is coming. That's his promise to you who love him. Amen? But you got to carry this. You got to understand when bad things happen and when attacks happen, you need to just call on God, not admit defeat. Amen? And I was going to say this morning, when we come into church, I want to hear good reports. I know that there's people in this church. People in this church going through things you don't really know, all that what they're going through, their sickness and their health and their families. But you never hear that from them because they trust God. Amen. So I'm telling you, as a family in Christ, when you come together, give a good word. You know what God did for me this week? He got me through the week. What did you say, Annie? You woke up this morning. That's a good start to praying. Amen? You need to see God and not the devil. You need to see God and not the world. Let me tell you that those people running for president, they're not going to tell you this. They're going to tell you how they're going to take care of you. And you don't need them to take care of you. You already got God taking care of you if you just trust him. So all the economy's bad. Not to my God. The economy might be bad, but got some folks here found a good job. How did they find it? God led them to it. Amen. God answers prayer. God heals bodies. David's here today, not by because of what a politician did, amen, but what God did for him, amen? And you should be rejoicing and rejoicing and rejoicing, because his victory is your victory, George. His Pat, it's your victory, David's victory today. I am so glad he came today so I can see him. I thought you'd come next week.
I got to see you before you leave.
There's again. Whatever church you go to, doesn't matter. You got to get God in your heart. You got to live it and believe it. You got to know. I don't care what denomination is, and denominations got to stop separating us. Amen? If your first acknowledgement is, I'm a Protestant, you've already fallen backwards. So I'm a Christian. God brought me here to hear the Word of God. That's just where I want to hear the Word of God. Those beautiful churches are empty if nobody receives the Word of God. There could be 10,000 people there, but if they don't leave stronger, they didn't hear the Word of God. I want this church and I want this pastor to do everything I can so you hear what? In your life. Amen? That's the testimony. That's God. Satan's a loser. He's a liar. But he knows ways to get you. So everything in your life that you know is not from God, I pray that you remove it. You start to remove it today. Just because it feels good doesn't mean it's from God. Oh, it helps me relax. That's a lie. God will help you relax. I can't sleep at night. I need to take medicine. That's a lie. You start reading the Word of God. Find something you love. Spend some time with him. You don't have to read the Bible. Read a Western book. Read a novel. Read a history book. That'll put you to sleep. You see, you got your mind on your troubles all the time. With God, you focus on him, and all of a sudden you forget you're depressed. You forget you got anxiety. You forget you're sick, because your mind is on better things. Amen? So start telling yourself the good word. And when you come to church, tell everybody the good word. We're praying for everybody. We want you to be healthy. Flo, we love you. We want your daughter to be as well as can be. But we want you to be happy. When you go home happy, she's going to say, Ma, what's going on with you? And you say, come to church and find out. Because you're a sister here, and you know how to give the good word. Amen? When somebody is in here, and then they come back, rejoice in them coming. Amen? That's godly. That's godly. Let God lead you. Let those temptations that the devil has, and it's stealing your joy. It's stealing your time. It's stealing your health. And don't look at somebody's habit like you don't have one. Amen? Don't look at somebody because they're doing something you know is wrong like you don't have any bad habits. Anybody in here don't have any bad habits? George and Roger.
Oh, Lord.
You both ought to be running for president. Join the OLS. Listen, God is for you. This book is for you. These love letters are for you to be stronger, for your family, for your faith. I'm telling my wife today, I haven't seen my son in a long time. I don't even know where he is half the time. And you know what I have to do? Give it to God, because he knows where he is and what he's doing. We tried to help our daughter. She's just amazing. And she doesn't want us to help her more because we've done so much, but my heart is wants to overflow because she just appreciates what we do for her because we love her. We have to trust God then with our grandchildren, with our jobs, with our school, with our friends. You know, people go to school and they learn all this good stuff, and that's good. But they should learn about God too. Because he wants you to have good success. His way will lead to victory. His way, do it the right way. Do everything unto God. And people around you that you don't even know will lift you up. Hallelujah. Just that undercover boss thing that they do. You notice at the end of the show, there's three or four people who do their job. They don't care about how much they make. They don't care, but they do their job. And then the boss all of a sudden gives them $25,000 and pays for school. Why? Because they see something special in them. So let wherever you go, let them see something special in you. Not ordinary, not the usual. Something special because you're the child of the Most High. And just like that song we sang today, a traveling man. I've traveled all over this country and God kept me safe. Places and things that I could have been in big trouble, he kept me safe. Driving through the state of Nevada in the middle of the winter. On a back road, my wife will laugh, but that's the truth. On I-70. No lights for hours. If my car broke down, but it didn't. Because God had his hand on me. Just like he's had his hand on you every minute to get you to this day. If that God's been that good to you, take more of that today. Let go of the temptations. Let go of the things that destroy your life. Sometimes it seems hard, but give it to God. If it's in your heart to do it, God will help you do it. Help you do it. Lead us not into temptation. God's way. Trust in him. In Jesus' name I pray you receive that.
Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen.
Amen and amen. Will you receive that, church? Hallelujah. Greg, I gotta say one thing. I know this is my opinion, but I gotta. Some guy left, just got out of the race for president. Not important. In the 6 months, he spent $100 million. $100 million. And I'm thinking, well, where did it go? Who got in 6 months $100 million? Somebody else is promising a neighborhood, I'm going to give you $20 million. I'm thinking, this guy just spent $100 million for absolutely nothing. See, that's the world, amen? I'm trying to tell you, that's the world. They see it in a complete different way that we do. God said, if you want $100 million, I have it for you. If you really want it and you really need it and you know what to do with it, I'll bless you with it. I want you to prosper. And then I want you to tell the world where you got it from. Amen? See, that's the difference. People are promising things they can't possibly do. And people are lifting them up like they're somebody when they're just people. God is the answer. Amen? God is the answer for the solutions of the world. This Bible has that. Are y'all with me? $100 million. In 6 months, you think that there'd have been a cure for Alzheimer's. Gary, $100 million. Somebody's richer today than they were 6 months ago. But that's the world. I want you to know. Are you with me? How you doing this morning? Everybody good? Heard the word of God this morning. Judy's in the house. She went to church yesterday, so she could be here with us today. And where's Phil? Oh, he's so good. I take this Bible literally. Remember, I've told you that. And I'm going to do everything I can in my ability to get you to take the Bible literally. Why? Because I don't want you to have any excuse. I don't want you to put anything in there, have any reason to doubt, any reason to think. Amen? I hear men much smarter than I am say that the Bible isn't all literal. I don't take it. I see men who are very proud men say, no, I don't take the Bible literally. They say, well, Adam and Eve really didn't exist, and Noah really didn't exist, and Balaam never had a donkey that's talked. And Lot, you know, and Sodom and Gomorrah, well, that never happened. See, all these things were out, you know, and what was the guy in the whale? Good. That was a test, Jim. And I didn't hear you give the answer. Yeah. But they don't take it literally, and I do. And I want to, all I can do to get you to take this book literally, because it will remove any doubts. It will let you focus on God and not wonder, amen? So today I'm going to read from Peter. Amen. And this is the second letter that Peter wrote. And this is just before he dies, within a year or two. Peter is martyred for being a Christian by Nero, the emperor of Rome. Amen. So he writes this letter to us. To who? Right, to us. This letter's to us, telling us things that have happened and things that are going to happen and how we should live through it, amen, and how we should be successful through it. And as we read this, you'll understand that there's gold in this, gold in these three pages, gold nuggets for me to prove that the Bible is, I take it literally, because it talks about Noah. And it'll talk about Balaam, and it'll talk about Lot. And I'm thinking, why would Peter tell us about these people if they weren't real? Amen. So as you read this, understand this is where I get my faith. And Peter tells us, Second Congregational, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. What were they?
Eyewitnesses.
So they did what? They saw him. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So what did they do? They heard who? God the Father. And listen, he said, and we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, Second Congregational, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. In whose heart? Nobody else's. Your heart. Hallelujah. Now Peter's telling us this. Peter says, Second Congregational, there were also false prophets among the people. Even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring into destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. Peter's telling us that people will deny the Lord. Have anybody ever heard anybody do that? I have. Listen to what Peter says. And many will follow. Say that with me. Many will follow. How many see that today? Well, praise God. They will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. He said they're going to do everything they can to destroy the Bible, to destroy you in your faith. Amen? But Peter tells us, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to the hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and listen to, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah. Saved who? Peter is telling me about Noah. People say that's just a story. I say, okay, you keep that. I got the book. I got the word right here. Saved Noah, one of eight people. A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and by the way, they found those cities, into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly. And not only that, but he delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. You see that happening today, amen? You see how you are when people take God out of places and how people talk bad of God. Amen. The same thing that Peter's telling us to see. Amen. Happening today, 2,000 years after he wrote this. How could he know? Then the Lord knows. Here's hallelujah. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. He delivers the godly out of what? Temptations. Say that with me. Temptations. Whatever you're going through, God can deliver you. It says right here, He will deliver you. And especially those who walk according to the flesh. No, let me get to the beginning. I don't want to mess that up. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Thank you, Lord. And to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. The unjust, especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. Hallelujah. I got that yellowed out. Despise authority. Anybody here ever see anybody despise authority? They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Listen to this one little paragraph. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Peter tells us that the angels who are here can go to the Lord and tell Him all sorts of things that we've done. Amen. All sorts of things that evil is doing, but they don't. They can, but they don't. Because it's God's judgment. Amen. It's God's time. They could, they don't. It's God's way. Hallelujah. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption. Sergio, you hear people talking about the Bible. They don't understand it. They want to prove it wrong. They don't take the time to learn it, but they want to tell you how wrong it is. We call that the ministry of unbelief. Amen? We call atheism the ministry of unbelief. If we could just get that out in the world, that there is a religion that's called unbelief, and it's atheism. Amen? And people who want to despise this world, they have a religion, and they have many ministers preaching this religion. Are you with me? They have many people preaching the religion of unbelief. Hallelujah. They will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Listen to what he says there. They cannot cease from sin. They are so lost in sin, they can't even begin to stop. And then not only that, but they enticing unstable souls. Notice it doesn't say unbelievers. They entice what? Unstable souls. Who are those? People who are hungry to know. People who are questioning. People who are getting close. They are the ones that they pull astray. Hallelujah. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are cursed children. Now listen to this. This is another piece of gold for me. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved wages of unrighteousness. I love this. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Remember we studied that with Balaam? That the angel of the Lord stood there and was going to kill Balaam with the sword, and the donkey moved to the left, and then he beat him, and the donkey moved to the right, and Balaam beat him, and then the third time the donkey saw the angel and fell down, and Balaam hit the donkey, and he said, "What have I done to you? I've just saved you three times." And the angel said, "If that donkey hadn't done that, I'd have taken your life by now." The donkey spoke out. You tell somebody who's a scholar, man, he might say, "That's crazy, impossible." I say, pretty much impossible, except for who? And Peter refers to Balaam. I don't think he's going to refer to a fairy tale, do you? And listen to what Peter says about those people who are leading people astray. Listen to what they are. These are wells without water. How good is that? These are clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Hallelujah. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Hallelujah. Then Peter writes the second congregational. This morning you're hearing from the Apostle Peter. He says, beloved. He calls you beloved. Imagine that, Walter. He calls you, George Mako, he calls you beloved. I don't know what they all call you, but he calls you beloved. Pat, be nice. Beloved. Second congregational. I now write this to you, the second epistle, in both which I stir you up in pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets in this book, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers, listen to what he's telling us, will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You have people now in 2016 saying, it's been a long time, Joanne. Where is he? He ain't coming. You're wasting your time. There's nothing in that Bible for you. That's what they're telling you. That's what the unbelievers are telling you. That's what other people... Well, it's just a story. It's not going to happen. So when you hear that, you know that Peter told us that. Amen? They say, where is the promise of his coming? Yeah? They're denying him. They're denying God, as in the day of Moses. How many do you remember in Exodus when Moses went on the mountain and he was gone a while? He was gone longer and he was gone. And then they got impatient and they started making a gold idol image. And they started doing other things because they thought he wasn't coming back. And that was only a few months. 2016 years since Jesus died. I can understand why some people think he's not coming back, but it's going to tell us why. It's going to tell you why right here in this golden letter. Hallelujah. For this they will willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that was existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And listen to this. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So when scientists tell you how old the earth is, they don't have a clue about God and his creation. Amen? They see 6,000 years and they don't understand that with God, it could have been 100,000 years for a day. It's God's word. Amen? It's God pulling the strings and doing all this. Not us. We can make up all the stories we want about the planets and life, but it's God who created this. And however long it took him, that's how long it took him. But if we want to say 1,000 years, God's saying he's fine with that. But the Bible tells us this. Do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And you say, Pastor, tell me, please, why is he waiting? Well, everybody wants to see him come. What's he doing? He should be coming. Things are evil. Things are crazy. There's all kinds of things in church and things out of the church, and there's people killing people. And this is why. This is why. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. But you're God. Who's God? He is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what he's waiting for. That. You see things daily. You see things in the 80, 90 years, 100 years that we're going to live. You see it in everything, but God sees it in entirety. Amen? He's waiting for all. He wants as many to come to repentance. Hallelujah. And then Peter closes with this. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Be diligent to be found by him in peace. Should be preached every day, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. What is it? Salvation. What is salvation? It's being with him. But in your flesh, what is salvation? being reunited with the ones who left before us. Someday may hold my brother Petey again. Hold my brother Johnny. Hold my mother. I know my wife. To hold her mother again. To see in the eyes of those that we lost the promise of salvation. Eternity with those that we love so very much. That's the promise. We're all having a good time here, and we love being here and seeing the sunshine. Spring is coming. There's a lot to be happy about. But the promise from God is greater. It's eternity with Him and our loved ones that have passed before us. That we will see them again. That's our hope. That's our faith. Amen. That's what God is talking about. The long suffering, because He wants people that you think would never make it to make it. He wants people that you think are so evil to make it. He wants people that you would hate before what they do to make it. That someday when you cross over and you're with Him, you're going to see people say, "Oh, I can't believe that person's here." And Jesus will say, "He asked me for forgiveness. Like I forgave you, I forgave him." He's waiting for that. Our salvation is the victory that we're going to have. We're all going to go through. I know my brother went through it in November. I know he's with my brother and my daddy. I know that. I know because that's my God. And that's the way God plans it out. Amen? And then he closes. "Conduct and consider that long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul." Peter is going to mention Paul. Imagine that. He's going to share his letter with his brother Paul. "Working together, according to the wisdom given to Paul, has written to you." And Peter says, "As also in all Paul's epistles, his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand," amen, "which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures." Boy, I'll tell you, they do that. They do that. There were two men last couple of weeks ago who took the Bible and put a cover of the Quran on the Bible. And they did it not to praise either the Quran or the Bible. They did it to prove some kind of silly point, doing exactly what Peter and Paul are telling us. They found five little scriptures from the Old Testament. Out of context, they yelled them out, and they had those people read those five little scriptures out of that, and they showed them and told them it was in the Quran, and people were, "Oh, I can't believe that." And they say, "Actually, it wasn't in the Quran, it was in the Bible." So what did that glorify? What did that do? What did it do for the Quran? What did it do for the Bible? All it did was people misuse God's word. Amen. They spent so much time with that they forgot, maybe I ought to learn what it says first. Amen. So let me read that again. "Also, in all of Paul's letters, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to understand." Yes, they are. "Which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore," who? Second Congregational, Derby, Connecticut. "Beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." That's the word today. Give God praise. I think that every word of God touches your heart, touches your spirit so deep that you can't let it go. So deep that you just hunger for more. So deep that you feel the peace. Hallelujah. Let me shine. God, really get in, just know that He knows what you're going through. He knows what you did yesterday. He knows all there is. Trust Him. Talk to Him. Talk to other people about God. Let it be an encouragement to each other. And one more time, Brother David, welcome home. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The word is true. The word is powerful. The word is loving and guiding. And the word is Jesus. Each one of us walk through that door as sinners. But because of Jesus, we're worthy to partake. Each one of us falls short daily. But because of Jesus, every man and woman in this world can partake. Though we are sinners, He sees our sin no more. In Jesus' name, we do this in remembrance of Him. The things He has prepared for us, the Bible says, eyes have never seen nor ears heard. You can't even imagine the things that God has for those who love Him. That's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us to walk in peace, to preach peace, to tell others about peace and God and forgiveness and mercy and grace. That's what we should be preaching, not hate, not blaming, When you blame other people for something, you've taken your eye off yourself, and any chance of you fixing it is gone. Thank you, Lord, that you make us look inward to change what we can change. We are of no religion, no denomination when we walk through those doors of any church you walk into. You walk into those doors as sinners. But because of what Jesus did on that cross, you are able to partake. And he said to do this in his name. In Jesus' name we remember. We do this memorial, we lift this up as he did the wine, blessed it and poured it into a cup, and he said, this will be my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. Do this also in remembrance of me, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. That book is for everybody. Amen. That book is for everybody who wants to read it. In that book is stories and history and travel, places, and promises. You know, I can't make a Red Sox fan become a Yankee fan, no matter how hard I try. Or a Dallas Cowboy fan to become a Giant fan, no matter how hard I try. And these days you can't make a Democrat be a Republican or a Republican be a Democrat, no matter how hard you try. And there are people who have lived their lives following one thing and not even looking at the other, because that's what they are. And there's people in different religions, and you name the religion, all over the world, and I can't make them change their religion. All I want to do is make you understand that you have a relationship with God above and beyond any denomination, above and beyond anybody. You have a relationship. That's what I need to do. Everything else you do is your life. But my job is to make you know that there's no religion that separates you from God, no denomination. We're all brothers and sisters in Him. When you walk through that door, you're not of any race, you're not of any nationality. You walk through that door as a sinner. As a sinner, but thanks to Jesus, we have hope. We have a future. He has a plan for you, Seth. I'm going to tell you every week. A plan for you. It's up to you to really want it. Go for it. Be all you can be. Show Him your dedication to whatever it is in your heart. He will see that, and He will honor that. But trust Him with everything first. Thank you, Lord. Not here to change anybody's mind or make you feel. I'm here to get you closer to God. That's my goal. That wherever you go and whatever you read, whatever you do, it brings you closer to the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. Trust me, that Word will open up your eyes to other things. That Word will open up your eyes to freedom. Open up your eyes to understanding, and open up your eyes to wisdom, where you get stronger and not anybody else around. You get stronger. Hallelujah. That's the victory. Thank you, Lord. Preaching peace and unity. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's it. That's who I follow. That's who I love. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us. And you simply ask that we do this in remembrance of you at Second Congregational, in Jesus' name. If you leave here with these words today and it changes your life, then we've done good things today. If you leave here today and want to fight those temptations that steal from you your health, your livelihood, the ones around you, the time you can share with your family, if you leave here wanting to remove those temptations, it's been a good day. If you leave here stronger about God, knowing that that Word is true, that Noah is true and Balaam is true, you leave here stronger today wanting to know more. And your faith is stronger because it confirms it. The Bible confirms it. If you leave here stronger today, then we've done a good job at Second Congregational in your life. Hallelujah, and God will take care of the rest. In Jesus' name. Can you praise Him, church?